This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans? The 68 members of the Louisiana Philharmonic certainly do. In the background, you're hearing the jazz pianist Alan Toussaint in a performance of that classic song, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans? Recorded here in our studio in the days after Hurricane Katrina when Alan made his way to New York. Now, New Orleans is known for jazz, but there is a major orchestra that's been left homeless in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. This weekend, anyway, the Louisiana Phil can call New York home as it gets ready for a benefit concert tomorrow night at Avery Fisher Hall. And here with an update on the state of the Louisiana Philharmonic is Daniel J. Wakin, music writer for the New York Times. Dan, thanks for coming back in.
My pleasure, John. Good to see you.
You have an article coming out tomorrow in the New York Times. We've been talking about Leonard Bernstein for most of the show today, and I understand there's a connection between what your readers will read tomorrow and what we've been talking about all afternoon.
That's right. I mean, you were talking about the kind of icon that Bernstein was to many people in this country, and you constantly hear people say, oh, I saw a young people's concert and I was inspired to do XYZ or to enter music. And in fact, one of the members of the orchestra that I was talking to yesterday said, we were talking about what it feels like to sit on the stage of Avery Fisher with the New York Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that means. And there's that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood with them as musicians, but also they're at a sort of an exalted level.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to Patty Adams, who's a flutist in Louisiana, and she said, you know, I was watching TV when I was 5 years old, and there was this orchestra. And I said to my mother, I want to play in that orchestra someday. Of course, what was the orchestra? The New York Philharmonic. Who was the conductor? Leonard Bernstein. And it was a young people's concert.
Wow.
And so, it was, you know,
and now tomorrow she'll play with that orchestra.
That's exactly what she said, and here I am.
How about that? Well, you know, the Louisiana Philharmonic is nothing if not resilient, because even before Katrina, it ran into, I guess you could say, a financial sort of hurricane. Tell us the story of how the Louisiana Philharmonic came to be what it is today.
Well, it used to be the New Orleans Symphony. And about 10 or 15 years ago, they basically went bankrupt and went out of business. And the New Orleans Symphony was a particular orchestra. It was known as a kind of a move-up orchestra. It sent a lot of its members on to sort of greater stardom, if you will, at some of the more major orchestras. And it had a slightly outsized reputation to its size. But it couldn't sustain itself in New Orleans and went out of business. The musicians then basically over a kitchen table got together and decided, well, we got to keep this thing going. So they reconstituted themselves. They started playing concerts, a few here and there, and they built themselves up and they created a new orchestra called the Louisiana Philharmonic, which they call themselves the only player-run orchestra in the country. Colorado Symphony, the members have a big say in their administration because they too went out of business a while ago. But Louisiana really is a self-regulating orchestra. And they have a manager, general manager, but the committees of the orchestra decide what the repertoire is. You know, they decide how much they're going to pay themselves. They just make personnel decisions.
Uh-huh. How much do they pay themselves? I mean, is it a full-time orchestra?
It is a full-time orchestra, but it's really a pittance. It's the base salary is, I think, about $18,000 a year.
Wow.
Compared to the Philharmonic, where it's $106,000 a year. And, of course, most of them make more than that with overtime and extra payments and et cetera, but that gives you a sense of the scale.
Right. Now, New Orleans is, of course, known for jazz and other forms of, you know, vernacular American music. What's the history of classical music in New Orleans?
Well, as far as I understand it, it was a major classical city. I mean, you know, 200 years ago, I think the story is that the first opera ever performed in this country was in New Orleans. And, you know, maybe a century ago, there were five orchestras before the Civil War in New Orleans. And the players of the orchestra are very proud of that because oftentimes New Orleans is not a city you associate with classical music. And I think they feel that. And they're sort of proud of their past. But the interesting thing is, at the same time, being in a jazz city, a lot of those musicians are really good at jazz. When I went down to Nashville to hear a benefit that they played down there, hosted by the Nashville Symphony, and one of the works on the program was an arrangement of When the Saints Go Marching In called Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And it called for a few solos. And the members of the orchestra decided themselves who was going to do the solo. The first one, I think, was this contrabassoonist who was just wailing away. It was fantastic. You could barely hear him, but he was terrific. And the tuba player is a serious jazz player. I mean, he also played a solo, which was just phenomenal.
All right. We're speaking with Dan Wakin of the New York Times, who's been covering the Louisiana Philharmonic through its peregrinations. I mean, what has happened to them in the wake of Katrina? Are they dispersed? I mean, clearly they were all in Nashville for this benefit and are all here in New York for tomorrow. But how are they making do?
Well, they've pretty much spread around the country. There's not many of them left in New Orleans. The orchestra's offices have moved to Baton Rouge. They're playing. A lot of them got subbing jobs in other orchestras for, say, you know, a group of concerts or for the season. Some are teaching. Some are have temporary jobs on faculties in various places. It's still an open question whether this orchestra can survive. They say they can, and they do have actually they have four holiday concerts in little localities just outside the city down there coming up in December. But this is the second time they've been together as an orchestra since the hurricane.
Okay. What was their hall? Where did they play?
It was the Orpheum Theater, and it was one of these old vaudeville halls, which was adapted for classical music.
And do you have any idea how that hall has fared?
I think it's been pretty heavily damaged. The whole bottom level, the orchestra level, the water was up above the stage, so all the seats and everything were destroyed, from what I've been told. Mm-hmm. And the orchestra storage rooms downstairs also were flooded, so they lost some very valuable timpani, a harp. I think their music library, which is, of course, vital to the life of an orchestra, is someplace else, but they suspect it may be heavily damaged and mildewed.
Mm. So they've got an awful lot to, you know, that they're up against.
Yes, yes.
Which makes this next part of the story all the more remarkable. I understand that some members of the Louisiana Phil were offered another job here in New York at Radio City Music Hall.
Right, right. This is an interesting thing. There's a labor dispute going on between Radio City Entertainment, which is a division of Cablevision, and the Musicians Union and the players. It looks like a contractor in New Orleans approached a bunch of the musicians down there to say, look, I have this great job for you up in New York. You know, it's good money. You know, they'll put you up, et cetera, et cetera. It's 10 weeks. Well, it turns out that it was at Radio City, and quickly word went out that this is not something you want to do. It's, you know, not quite clear what the exact connection is between the contractor and Cablevision. I did a piece last week, and, you know, I asked Radio City Entertainment, you know, did you go to hire these musicians? And the only answer I got was, we will do whatever we can so that the show goes on.
Right, right. So. But the members of the Louisiana Philharmonic, making a pittance to begin with and now beset with all of these Katrina-induced calamities that they have to deal with, have turned down that extra work because they
Correct.
Don't want to potentially have to cross a picket line.
Correct, correct. And, you know, and in fact, there is no strike yet. And there's
right.
a strike authorization. Performances start November 3rd, I believe, at Radio City. So, you know, there's still officially an orchestra.
Right.
You know.
Well, now, you've said you're not certain what the future of this orchestra will bring, but they are determined to try and make, you know, a version 3 of the Louisiana Philharmonic.
Well, they have a lot of resilience, and I think they sort of feed off of that resilience. And publicly, they'll all say, yes, we'll be back. But privately, a lot of them don't sound as optimistic. You know, it's tough because it's in fact, their situation is no different than anybody else who suffered in the hurricane and the flooding in New Orleans. You know, the people want to get their lives back together. Their kids, you know, have to put their kids in school. They need to make a living, but there's no way to do it down there. And until there is a way to bring labor back, it's going to be tough for the economy to get back on its feet.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow night there's this big benefit by the New York Philharmonic for the Louisiana Philharmonic, the two orchestras playing together.
Right.
There will be, you know, some kind of Louisiana theme, some kind of, you know, southern tinge to the programming, I guess.
Right. Randy Newman will be performing some of his songs, and he sort of has a New Orleans influence. The music director designate of the orchestra is going to conduct. A former conductor of the New Orleans Symphony, Leonard Slatkin, will be conducting. The music director designate is Carlos Prieto.
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling on personnel of the past and future.
All right. I didn't realize that Leonard Slatkin was an alumnus of the Louisiana Philharmonic.
That's right.
We've been speaking with Dan Wakin, music writer for the New York Times, and of course we are all looking forward to tomorrow night's concert, which we will broadcast live on WNYC, and which will include the Copland Symphony No. 3, probably most famous because Copland reworked his Fanfare for the Common Man.
Right. Just the fourth movement, right?
Just the fourth movement. Right. And actually, this recording conducted by Leonard Bernstein. So we've come full circle. Dan, great to have you back on the show. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, John.
This is Soundcheck.